Hour number three here on 102.5 The Game. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick here. Darren and Donick every day, 10 to 2. We're live here. Bridgestone Arena, Jack Daniels Barrel House. Tonight's the Predators and St. Louis Blues, a little matchup of the Central Division foes. 7 o'clock puck drop, pregame at 6. Also, a big announcement coming up at 5 o'clock. Everything heard right here on 102.5 The Game. Big Saturday for our next guest and the organization Nashville SC in our town. Everything has begun. The new era of soccer has begun in our city. Unfortunately, Mother Nature did not cooperate. It did not stop them. They still played their friendly against Atlanta. And to help us with that, Chris Jones, the GM of Nashville SC, is on the line with us. Chris, how you doing?
What's up, guys? It's I guess it's since we planted the flag at First Tennessee we last spoke, right?
That's right. That was quite the day, and it was a little bit different. It was a lot sunnier that day the last time we talked, but, hey, you can't control that. The fans still came out. They still had a great time. Give us your thoughts. How do you think it went?
You know, I don't know what's more impressive, the fact that, you know, we had sold out the stadium prior to the game, or the fact that over 9,000 people actually showed up considering the weather. It was great to look out into the crowd and see so many people there cheering on the team. And I don't know about you, but I was very impressed.
So what were you looking to get out of that? It's like I said, the era has begun. It's a friendly. It's against an MLS team. Of course, you guys will kick off your season next month on the 17th on the road, and then you'll have the first home game against Pittsburgh on the 24th as you start up USL in this town before it eventually goes to MLS. But what were you looking to get out of this? How can you, you know, what were you looking to gauge? What was the whole mindset going into the match on Saturday?
Well, you know, it was a culmination of a lot of hard work, and I think what we looked to get out of it was a number of things. You know, Gary wanted to get a good look at the talent on the field. These guys had only been together for about 2 weeks. Some of them had only arrived 2 days prior to the match, and those guys actually made an impression scoring the goal there for us. So on the technical side, it was getting a good look at the players. For the front office, it was, you know, just showing that pro soccer is here and that we're ready to strap it up and play the big boys. And I gotta tell you, I was very pleased on how we performed both on the field and off the field.
A lot of compliments being doled out from the opponent, Atlanta, saying, hey, this team is going to absolutely compete in the USL. So that must have been nice to hear as you had to assemble this roster and get to see it for the first time in live action. Yes, it didn't count in the standings, but at least you got to see it up against an opponent.
You know, Gary Smith and Mike Jacobs have done a phenomenal job putting together this roster. It's going to be very competitive. Like anything, just because it looks good on paper doesn't always mean it translates in real life, but we're very confident. We're very pleased with the guys we have here, and, you know, we're ready to go. That was kind of our first stop on the drive to Nissan Stadium now, and so we're excited what's coming up.
Now, last thing on my end, Chris, and I asked this question yesterday, and you're better equipped to answer it than us. What truly is the gap between USL and MLS, because it did not look like there was this huge gap. I was trying to think of comparisons in other sports, but what's the best way you can answer that question of what the gap is talent-wise or your roster from a USL roster to an MLS roster?
Yeah, you know, I guess to the broader audience, I'll use a kind of a football analogy. You know, there's a lot of teams that the ones versus ones can compete, and I think we saw that Saturday, right, for the entire first half, and actually even when we subbed in our twos in the second half, the game was very competitive. And so the biggest gap is when you start heading into those subs and those two guys that are coming in off the bench or maybe not getting a lot of the reps. That's where probably the biggest gap is, and you see that a lot of in SEC football and everywhere else across the country. So that's probably the best analogy.
Chris, how much do you think the roster will evolve over the course of the season? Now that you got a chance to look at them, is it like what we would be accustomed to in other sports where when you go through some exhibition games, you might see some change in personnel as other players become available and you evaluate the ones you've got?
So there's a number of different things that can happen. And like any other sport, you know, there's injured reserve. So, you know, if we have a player that gets injured for the season, we have the ability to put them on IR and bring in a player that doesn't affect our total roster. You know, the league actually just extended the roster number, even though, you know, we're under that. So we've got the ability to, if something does happen, and Mike and Gary feel the need to address those, then they can do that. But I got to tell you, right now, with the guys that we have from top to bottom, it's pretty competitive, and I'm excited for all the way from the 32-year-olds to the 19-year-olds that are on the roster to see what we can do this season.
Did it surprise you at all once you actually saw them on the field, or were you pretty confident that this could be competitive and it would look like that when you actually got them on the field and saw them play a game?
I'd say it was a little bit of a somewhat expected, but still a little surprise. And only a surprise in the fact that these guys have only been playing together for a couple of weeks. And like I said at the beginning, some of them came in 2 days prior. What helped us, and this is a credit to Mike and Gary and their foresight, they paired up a lot of guys on this roster that had played together in previous locations, either under Gary or, at teams that Mike Jacobs had been a part of. And so I think that helped the chemistry of this team get expedited, right? And so that will only get better as they play more games. Like I mentioned before, we've got a lot of steps and a lot of stops on the kind of drive to Nissan Stadium here. They'll go down to IMG and play some quality MLS opponents. You know, we'll go to Cincinnati and play up there in some preseason. We've got a game at Chattanooga, which another kind of in-state match there. It'll be fun down in Chattanooga. So they'll get a lot of opportunities to build that chemistry and as we get head towards Nissan.
Chris, I'm also curious. I don't know if you've had a chance really to look closely at the breakdown of the 9,000 fans that were there that filled up the capacity of First Tennessee Park. I know the Roadies are always out front. They were fantastic, as I know you expected. I saw there were a few people that came up from Atlanta. What do you expect to be sort of the breakdown of the radius of where the fans come from? Like, how far were they coming from in some cases?
So for that match specifically, the vast majority were still Tennessee addresses. So Atlanta did travel well. That's to be expected. I mean, their home matches are phenomenal. They do a great job, and they're a first-class organization from the fan base to the front office. You could expect some good travel from the likes of Louisville, you know, even Cincinnati, Charlotte, you know, Atlanta United 2. We play them as well, so I would expect a good number of people coming from those locations. But because of the sheer number of season ticket holders, I mean, we're over 5,000 already, it's going to be nearly 100% Nashville SC fans. It's going to be a tough ticket to get, which is a good problem to have. So we're excited of what the stadium's going to look like on game day.
That's tremendous. And within your season ticket holders, how many of your fans are coming from further off places? Let's say, you know, past, you know, our listening area, you get out to Murfreesboro and places like that. Are there people coming from as far as, I don't know, Cookeville or Chattanooga or places like that? Have you had a chance to look?
There are. It's funny. Actually, saw some stuff where people were coming from Jackson, Tennessee. Which, as you know, is not a short trip. So it's been fun to see how far and how quickly the brand has reached. That's a credit to the marketing department and just the city of Nashville itself, right? Let's be honest. The city is a huge tool in recruiting, whether it's fans or even players and front office staff. The city is quite a draw for people to come and spend a weekend here. So we're excited. It's been great so far.
I know when we talked to you, when you guys actually mapped out the field over the summer and showed everybody how it's going to lay out, we were really excited to get a visual of what we thought it would look like. How did the field hold up, and what did you learn about the first game day in terms of operations and things like that?
Well, we learned we don't like rain. That's probably
okay. Check that out.
That's probably number one. You know, local farmers love rain. We do not when it comes to flipping a field. But no, I got to tell you, the fields that I've seen converted, and even the players on our team, Atlanta's team, that have played on situations like we have at First Tennessee, high praise. They said it was one of the best, if not the best, conversions that they've played on or seen. You know, from the stands, it looked beautiful. The weather did not help that. It will be better on better weather. But if I had to give it a grade, I'm giving it an A. We were very pleased with how everything turned out, all things considered.
That's great. I can tell you, Chris, we were driving from Toronto, from the game that the Predators had played, onto the airport. We were heading out to Ottawa. And anytime you go to Toronto, if everybody's ever been there, when you come from the airport and you go in towards downtown, you go right past their excellent facility for their MLS team. And yeah. I don't know what our stadium is going to look like exactly compared to there, but I know it's the same kind of idea, and it just looks spectacular when you come in there. And I couldn't help, and we were all talking about it driving by, that we're going to have a facility like this in a few years. And it's great to see how this is going to grow right from the start.
Yeah, and we're fortunate the facilities we have now, right? I mean, First Tennessee and the Sounds have been great partners. It provides a very first-class, intimate environment. And as we announced that we're going to be playing March 24th over at Nissan Stadium, the Titans and that group have been great partners, and we look forward to that match there. So we're look forward to the future, but I got to tell you right now, we're enjoying ourselves.
Well, it is exciting, no question about it. And so how many can you get in? I mean, that's a great decision to just think right off the bat, hey, we need a bigger place for this game in March. So I'm sure it's a great opportunity for some fans who maybe couldn't get into the first game.
Well, you know, the inaugural record for USL is 20,000. So a lot of it's going to be, you know, good folks like yourself and other Nashvillians spreading the good word, bringing a friend, encouraging folks that anyone that wants to experience soccer, we can accommodate them in a great venue like Nissan. And so it's really going to be a group effort. But if we've seen anything with Nashville sports fans, there's no milestone that we can't break. This is a great city, and these are great sports fans. Whether it's your first time experiencing soccer or you're a lifelong player or fan, we look forward to having you out, it's going to be a fun day.
This is the start of some really cool things to come in our city, and you guys are a big part of it. So congratulations on the first ever game, and boy, March 24th at Nissan against Pittsburgh Riverhounds will be a sight to see. It'd be neat if they got past that 20,000 mark. That would be really, really cool. Chris, thanks for doing this.
Absolutely, guys. You'll see a smile on my face if we do it.
I bet. Chris Jones, he is the general manager of Nashville SC, and why not? You can get 10,000, well, 9,000 plus on a rainy, rainy Saturday for a friendly. Why not when it counts? Can they get to 20? I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, I believe they can. I believe they can. For the first game,
yeah.
I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. Well, you knew that the first game would be a surefire sellout at First Tennessee Park. You knew
right. That.
Then the question is, okay, then what's the next marker you can hit? Like, you don't want to move it to Nissan to get 12,000.
Right.
Right?
Right. But they have to – so they're showing some confidence, and I think – they also, not only confidence in the fans, but also confidence in themselves that they will get the word out. And I do think that game will draw very well.
Let's come back and talk. Let's kind of wrap all this together when we come back, because this is another element to our city and the growth and for sports fans. And kind of going off, this is what I know. We had the call from Robert saying he's not going to re-up his Titans tickets. And just that whole discussion. We'll get into that and a lot more next on 102.5 The Game.